President Kimball, as you have expressed your love for us, I am sure that I speak for those all over the earth when I say that we love you and ever pray for you. I think I should like to take a few minutes to tell you this morning a few things of the Book of Mormon. Exactly 150 years ago this fall, that book was first being set in type and run on a press in Palmyra, New York. Today, after a century and a half after its first publication, it is more widely read than at any time in its history. Whereas there were 5,000 copies in that first edition, today's editions are ordered in lots of more than a million copies. And the book currently is printed in more than a score of languages. Its appeal is as timeless as truth, as universal as mankind. It is the only book that contains within its covers a promise that by divine power the reader may know with certainty of its truth. Its origin is miraculous. When the story of that origin is first told to one unfamiliar with it, it is almost unbelievable. But the book is here to be felt and handled and read. No one can dispute its presence. All efforts to account for its origin, other than the account given by Joseph Smith, have been shown to lack substance. It is a record of ancient America. It is a scripture of the New World, as certainly as the Bible is the scripture of the old. Each speaks of the other. Each carries with it the spirit of inspiration, the power to convince and to convert. Together they become two witnesses, hand in hand, that Jesus is the Christ, the resurrected and living Son of the living God. Its narrative is a chronicle of nations long since gone, but in its descriptions of today's society, it is as current as the daily newspaper and much more definitive, inspired, and inspiring concerning the solutions of those problems. I know of no other writing which sets forth with such clarity the tragic consequences to societies who follow courses contrary to the commandments of God. Its pages trace the stories of two distinct civilizations that flourished on this Western Hemisphere. They began small, their people walking in the fear of the Lord. But with prosperity came growing evils. The people succumbed to the wiles of ambitious and scheming leaders who oppressed them with burdensome taxes, who lulled them with hollow promises, who countenanced and even encouraged loose and lascivious living, who led them into terrible wars that resulted in the death of millions and the final and total extinction of two great civilizations in two eras. No other written testament so clearly illustrates the fact that when men and nations walk in the fear of God and in obedience to His commandments, they prosper and grow. But when they disregard Him and His word, there comes a decay that, unless otherwise arrested by righteousness, leads to impotence and death. The Book of Mormon is an affirmation of the Old Testament proverb, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." We in this good land of America are now hearing much debate concerning the treaty designed to reduce the likelihood of nuclear attacks on this continent. There is much talk of a balance of power and of a balance of terror. In the context of this current discussion, I should like to read to you what the God of Heaven said long ago concerning this land as recorded in the book of which we are speaking. Quote, "Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity, and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ." Unquote. While it speaks with power to the issues that affect our modern society, the great and stirring burden of its message is a testimony vibrant and true that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah. He who walked the dusty roads of Palestine healing the sick and teaching the doctrines of salvation. He who died upon the cross of Calvary and who on the third day came forth from the tomb appearing to many. And who prior to his final ascension visited the people of this Western Hemisphere concerning whom he earlier had said, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." For centuries, the Bible stood as alone as a written testimony of the divinity of Jesus of Nazareth. Now at its side stands a second and powerful witness, which has come forth to the convincing of the Jew and the Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the Redeemer of the world. As I indicated earlier, at this season exactly 150 years ago, the first edition of the Book of Mormon, which had just then been translated by the gift and power of God, was being set in type and run on a small press in Palmyra, New York. Its publication preceded and was as a forerunner to the organization of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which event occurred on April 6, 1830. On April 6, 1980, 6 months from now, we shall observe the sesquicentennial anniversary of that organization with a great jubilee celebration. In anticipation of that sesquicentennial observance, I should like to make a request and offer a challenge to members of the church throughout the world and to our friends everywhere to read the Book of Mormon. There are 183 days between now and next April in which to read 239 chapters. If you will read as little as one chapter a day each weekday and three chapters each Sunday, with the five concluding chapters to be read on April 6th, you will finish on that historic day with the words of this remarkable and final challenge issued by the prophet Moroni as he completed his record 15 centuries ago. Said he, "And I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh that ye shall know that I lie not. For ye shall see me at the bar of God, and the Lord God will say unto you, Did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man, like as one crying from the dead, yea, even as one speaking out of the dust? And God shall show unto you that that which I have written is true." My brothers and sisters, without reservation, I promise you that each of you will observe this simple program, regardless of how many times you previously may have read the Book of Mormon. There will come into your lives and into your homes an added measure of the Spirit of the Lord, a strengthened resolution to walk in obedience to His commandments, and a stronger testimony of the living reality of the Son of God, which promise I solemnly make in His holy name, even the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.